Blog Talk Radio.
Live with Icon, Granny Hofster, and Big Twin.
So excited about this show, not necessarily because it's our show, because I'm always excited about our show, but I'm excited because I learned while we were off the air, we were getting all the pre-show stuff set up and everything, that we're actually going to have two vent sessions here today. And it's NFL draft week. It's been really busy for me. I've had to debate callers all week long about who's going to draft who and what teams need what and why I'm an idiot for thinking this, and then why they're an idiot for thinking that, and back and forth, and sports radio and all that fun stuff. Now I get to have the juicy and I don't have to debate. I can just sit back and listen. So we do have Granny Hoaxer with us. We do have the Icon with us, the two best co-hosts anybody could ever ask for here on the still ever-growing show, Attitude Era Live. And Icon, before we get into who's on tonight, which we will get into, and I know we have a jam-packed show, we kind of pulled straws off the air. We kind of did rock, paper, scissors, pulled names out of hats, pulled straws, and we decided that Granny is going to vent first, seeing as Icon does most of the venting on the program. We will let Granny get her vent fix in here, as long as we can be promised that we're actually going to hear Icon's, because he told us last week he was going to do it and didn't get a chance to. So what's going on? What's ailing you?
Okay.
Well, Granny, before you,
go ahead.
Granny, before you give your heel, remember, you joined us. You became part of the show because you had the vent. So go ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
it's been a while.
Thanks, guys. I mean, I went to a, and I don't vent very often, but this really pissed me off last night. I went to a wrestling show last night in Springdale, WCWA Showdown House Rules, and the fans got to vote on all the matches. Well, the main
That's
event
cool.
was my very good friend, Magnificent Malico versus Will Alday. Now, Granny does not like Will Alday. I've never liked Will Alday. Can't stand the guy. And the stipulation was, should he be allowed to have a title shot, championship match, or did he have to earn it? Well, of course, I voted that he needed to earn it. Okay? Well, the other fans voted that he should have the championship shot. Well,
oh, wow.
Will Alday comes out and everything, and we're all waiting for Malico. Well, all of a sudden, they show this video of Malico, like, working out in his garage and, talking about Will Alday. And And the video is on my Facebook page. I shared it on my Facebook page. Long story short, guys, Malico's standing in his driveway. He turns around. He walks out into the street by in front of his driveway at his house, okay? All of a sudden, he turns around. What the hell? Here comes this speeding red car, hits Malico, and takes off. Well, this little weasel guy that came out with Will all day last night, DJ, which I do not like either, he thinks he's trying to take over his brother's show. His brother, Wes McCann, is the basically public relations guy for WCWA. Okay, so they come out and they said, okay, ref, you know, and Will Alday says, oh, you know, I've seen the error in my ways. I'm trying to make things right, blah, 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 blah. And I said, you missed two shows. You should have been fired. He says, Granny, you're right. I should have been fired. But I'm trying to change my ways and da-da-da-da-da, just running his mouth like he always thinks he has to do. And he told the referee, he says, start counting, ref, start counting. So they counted to 10, and, of course, Malico couldn't be there, obviously, for various good reasons. And they gave the championship belt to Will Alday without him having to even lift a finger to wrestle anybody to earn that championship belt. That's what pissed me off.
Wow.
What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I don't really know the guy. I don't know the dynamic of his history. You know, like, you know him because you follow that particular company. But it sounds to me like, you know, he's going to be one of those champions that's going to, you know, weasel his way in and out of things. It sounds like, honestly, it sounds like they did their job correctly. As much as it pisses you off to give a heel champion the way that they gave the heel champion the belt, because it you know, heels are supposed to get under your skin. If they're a good heel, they're supposed to make you want to scream at the TV.
I know that, and that doesn't so much piss me off. It's just the fact that they should have made him, because, I mean, the public relations guy, Wes, he tried to stop it. He tried to not let it happen. I mean, he tried his very best. But the thing is, I know Magnificent Malico well enough, and he posted a comment because he shared the video of what happened on his Facebook page. And, you know, I know Malico is eventually going to get that belt back. I know that, because I know Magnificent Malico quite well. He eventually, when he gets his shot, so I shared that video, and I made a comment. I said, all I can say is, Will Alday, you better watch your back, because Magnificent Malico is going to be coming after you and coming after his belt. And of course, I couldn't wear my granny shirt last night because I had a very special installation ceremony to do at our Moose Lodge yesterday, and I was one of the installing officers. So I had to wear a nice outfit. You know, I had to dress up. You know, so Granny went incognito last night. Mm. Of course, everybody's asking me at the show, where's your granny shirt? Of course, I know I'm Granny. I don't have to have my granny shirt on to be Granny. I mean, but without even thinking that I wore this very, very pretty purple blouse, nice blouse, you know, with my long skirt, without even thinking the consequences of Will Alday, because he has purple. He comes out wearing a purple jacket and purple tights, and, you know, he's like, oh, Granny planned this. Oh, we're twins, you know, she's my queen, and blah, 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 blah. I am never going to be your queen, Will Alday, because I don't like you, and I did not plan on that. And God forbid, oh, I wish I would have had time to go home and change my clothes before I went to that show. And he told me last night, he says, Granny, you really do look good in purple. And I said, well, thank you for that. But I said, I will never wear purple ever again to this show. You will never see me in purple again. And I guarantee one thing, Lil All Day, May 23rd next month, when you come back to WCWA, I am going to be making sure that I am in my granny shirt full blown, because you are never going to see me in purple again, my friend.
Well, can I put in my two cents about this?
Sure.
Sure.
If I could. Now, Will Alday, let me tell you something about this guy. One, he's a disgrace to the color purple, okay?
No
boy. Long live the... Long live the Vikings. One, look, purple is not your color, dude. And two, this guy looks like some pretty boy heel eight. Well, you guys know what I mean when I say heel. We talked about that up there. But
yes.
For those listening, I can say this. Heel is an icon for a-hole, so just fill in the blanks. But look, this guy, one, is a disgrace to the color purple. You should not be wearing purple, the Viking colors. You're disrespecting it. You look like some pretty boy. You remind me of this guy reminds me of Steven Richards, and I hate Steven Richards, you know.
So did you look up him on Facebook icon by chance?
Granny, I'm looking up this photo here. I see Will Alday, at least the photo that I'm seeing anyway. He's got like the long Orlando Bloom type hair and a little goat, you know, faded goatee thing going on, and a nice, you know, pullover leather jacket. But I'm looking at Magnificent Malico because I was a little invested in the story, and I was trying to get a grip on these people as you were saying their names here. And he looks like, I don't know if the face paint is done intentionally, but the photo that I'm looking at, he kind of looks like a baboon from The Lion King. But you know what I'm saying? He kind of has that weird face.
Malico does his own face makeup like a clown type. He's like a
like
clown.
An evil
type
clown.
Character.
Yeah, but he looks like Rafiki from The Lion King. That's just me. I'm just saying.
But he's a phenomenal wrestler. I mean, let me tell you, Malico is as limber as he can be. I mean, he is a great wrestler. But if you get a chance, you'll have to check out that video on Malico's page, or I think I shared it on my page too. But so that's my vent, guys. That's my vent for the night. Granny doesn't vent very often, but last night, the show was rest of the show was amazing. It was an awesome night of matches, great matches, with the exception of the main event that never took place. So all I can say is, like I said, Will Alday, you better watch your back, boy, because Malico will be coming after you, and he will be coming back after his title belt.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, though, Big Swing, how you described the Magnificent Malico. You know, you say baboon thing. I thought, to me, you know, and I know who he is, too, he kind of reminds me a lot of The Fiend, if you know what I mean.
But The Fiend is a mask. I mean, this is painted. And again, he could change it up. I don't know. I don't know the guy from Hole in the Wall. But the picture that I'm looking at, which is the WCWA rematch, Magnificent Malico and Will Alday, I don't know when it was from, but I'm looking at it.
It was supposed to be – well, their main event was supposed to be in last night. At the WCWA Showdown House Rules, because that was one of the matches the fans got to vote on.
Okay. Well, yeah, so I'm looking at it, and I don't know if he changes his face paint all the time or what.
He doesn't change it around a whole lot. I mean, every once in a while, but he always has, like, the M in the middle and the white, you know, the white paint on his face and everything. He doesn't change it around a whole lot. He pretty much keeps it. I mean, because like I said, I've seen him wrestle on both sides of the fence, guys. I've seen Malico as a heel. I've seen Malico as a baby face. I like him more as a babyface than I do a heel, but Malenko has wrestled as a heel before. I mean, I will admit that. I mean, matter of fact, when Malenko wrestled for WFC, he was the heel. And there was a video that I did, with him, probably about a couple years ago, 3 years ago, something like that. He had a match with Paul Puerto Rico, and it was called Who's Your Daddy's Match, and he had kidnapped Arrow Kid. And I had found a pacifier from Dollar General. It looked like it had a little clown on the pacifier, and we did a little promo thing, and that video is still floating around out there in Facebook land somewhere.
And,
because I popped that pacifier in Malenko's mouth.
We do have two. We have a 601 and a 336.
Well, let's see.
So the intern is telling me that it's North Carolina and Mississippi.
Well, let me find out here real quick just to make sure.
Wish we had like the Jeopardy theme music to put in between these quiet spots.
Well, you know, it's just that I just got to make sure that we get the, so we don't get like a toilet flush guy. You know how much we hate him.
Well, you know, I don't know. You want me to put them both on, and we'll check it out? Or I mean,
go do the 336 first.
336 first. Okay, you're on.
Ladies,
hey,
this is Patrick Peake.
Oh,
well, go ahead.
Wait, go ahead and see what you were going to say.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle. As you can tell, everybody, he is ready. He is one of the coolest-looking independent wrestlers in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Patrick McPeak.
Hey, this is Patrick Peak. You're listening to Attitude Aerial live with the Icon, the Big Swing, and Granny Hulkster.
So how's it going, big guy?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So here's what we're going to do here real quick. We're going to have you give a little background about yourself, and then I'm going to ask some questions, and we'll do a round table, and we'll come back to you and ask you the difficult questions. So go ahead.
I was a little kid at about the age of 7, watched wrestling with my grandpa, became a big fan ever since. And when I turned 12 years old, went to Monday Night Raw, Randy Orton looked dead at my face, and that's when I noticed I wanted to become a wrestler. Ever since then, I've just been doing backyard wrestling, and now I'm doing independent, and that's where the story leads.
And I will say, for those of you who have not seen him, Patrick is a pretty handsome-looking guy. You know, I like you. You're not my type, but you are a handsome-looking guy. I will say that.
Thanks, man.
All right, so yeah, Patrick McPeak is our guest here. We got 28 minutes. So now you started out backward wrestling. Now, are we talking about like Mick Foley diving off the garage and onto mattresses, or are we talking light bulbs grinding into your buddy's forehead? What kind of backyard wrestling are we talking about?
Well, it's kind of a mix of both. When I first started doing backyard wrestling, all of my buddies, we was about 30 of us in our neighborhood, we always did it in the backyard on a trampoline. And out of the 30 of them, I was pretty much the dumbest one to do anything. Our very first show that we did in front of all of our parents, and pretty much the whole neighborhood came to watch us. And I literally we had a double wide trailer, and the main event was me versus my rival, and also he was my last guy that I went against when I actually did it was like our farewell match, and then 4 years later, I come back doing backyard. But that last match, lumberjack match. And I literally was like, you know how every lumberjack works? Everybody just gets in one big brawl. And so I literally jumped off the top of the double-wide trailer and landed on all my friends. And I was about 13.
That's awesome. Now, with you know, you mentioned everybody in the neighborhood came to check you out. Now, were there anybody that was cheering against you because you didn't mow their lawn correctly, or when you were the paper boy in the neighborhood, you used to throw the papers in the bushes? Anything like that going on?
Nah, I'll admit it. I was the lazy kid. I never really mowed lawn, didn't do any of that. I just would go out there and put on a good show. I started out as a face, and I turned into a bad guy as the years go on. And for the past maybe 6 years now, I've just been staying as a bad guy because I have more fun being a heel than being a good guy. And
Well, with that being said, I was going to ask you, we have Patrick McPeak as our guest here. We got 24 minutes. I usually ask, so when you wrestle, do you consider yourself to be a baby face, a heel, an in-between, or a crowd guy? You mentioned you're a heel. So, Granny, we have a heel. What do you got?
Woo! Yay! Because, you know, hello, I'm Granny Holster. I'm not a wrestler. I'm just a fan of the sport. But Granny does not like the heels, and I can talk some pretty good smack to him when I have to. I think I would have a lot of fun talking some smack to you.
Well,
I don't think I'd be too afraid of you.
Yeah, you could say, you could probably say a lot to me. I just won't say nothing because I'm really not that good with promos, but I've been working on it for, I'm still working on my promos, but they're getting better as they go.
Let me give you an example of what some of my heel wrestling buddies say to me. They tell me to sit down and shut up before I break a hip. I'm only 58, by the way. Or they'll tell me, don't I have a curfew at the nursing home? And I had a wrestler ask me that one time, and I grabbed my keys, and I threw my fist up in his face, and I almost hit him in the nose. I said, baby, I don't need no curfew. I got keys to the building. And he ran off screaming.
That reminds a whole lot of my grandfather, because we actually had front row seats to a show one time, and he actually was close to actually smacking the Rock.
It was not a
televised show. It was just a live show, and The Rock was a bad guy at the time. And, like, The Rock just looks at him and runs his mouth, and somehow it got in my grandpa's head, and he forgot that it's just a show. And he was, like, about a centimeter away from hitting his nose with his hand.
Oh wow!
And just so everybody knows, we here at Attitude Era Live do not condone, as a fan, attacking any wrestler or touching them in any way, unless you're the icon and it's a heel, the guy ticks me off so much I can't even think of his name anymore. You guys, help me out. Who do I hate the most?
I don't know.
Your list is so long. You hate Kevin Owens.
Hold on here.
Why do you hate Kevin Owens for?
He hates everybody.
No, I don't hate everybody. Just don't get me started on Kevin Owens. Because this is your time, we'll come back to that. We have our great guest here. We have Patrick McPeak is our guest here. We have 22 minutes. We'll go to Big Swing. What do you got for our guest? Go ahead. I know you got some questions about backyard wrestling. Go ahead.
Well, all right. Yeah, I mean, basically, you kind of answered a little bit, but to go into some detail on it, what made you decide that, you know, this is what you wanted to do? I mean, I know you said, you know, when you looked at Randy Orton, you said, boom, I want to be a wrestler. But what about it from the standpoint of that? I mean, you know, I've had football players, you know, look at me when I was pregame, postgame, I don't want to play football. So I'm just wondering, like, what drew you to wrestling? What drew you to the business in general? And what have been some of your best moments doing this?
Well, what really drawn to me was probably when it was probably Randy Orton. I really enjoyed, but besides Randy Orton, it was the fans. I loved seeing fans go wild when a wrestler made a big return or finally got his big push and won the world title or any championship. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I like. Every single time when I see the fans just blow the roof off the place from yelling, screaming, cussing.
Which Randy Orton was your favorite Randy Orton? Because he's had a couple of changes throughout his career, so.
I like the Randy Orton now.
Okay.
I like him, I liked him when he was with Evolution. I did, but that was my favorite of all. But then when he started doing all this crazy stuff with Edge and doing this stuff with The Fiend, I'm just like, okay, like, this is a whole new Randy Orton. I'm really digging this guy that's actually just ferocious. He is not laying back, and he's really going after something, and I'm on the edge of my seat every single time I see him do a promo or get in that ring, because I don't know what I don't know what to expect what he does. That's,
you know,
the kind
and Patrick,
of what, how much he's changed.
And Patrick, Big Swing is a major Edge head, by the way.
Yeah, Edge is definitely my favorite.
I'm a big Edge fan too. Edge is my all-time favorite.
Oh, there we go. See, I this guy.
And if Big Swing
had his way, as a
matter
of fact, I'm actually wearing an Edge shirt right now.
There we go.
Oh, and here's the deal, Patrick. If Big Swing had his way, Edge would marry Alexa Bliss, and they'd have little Big Swings.
Yeah. I mean, now don't get me wrong. I liked Alexa Bliss when Alexa Bliss was Alexa Bliss. I don't know if I'm digging this whole crazy, creepy character thing she's doing, but, you know, hey, each their own, they switch it up. What have been some of your favorite moments throughout your career and so some of the things that you've done in backyard wrestling and stuff that really you look back on and you're like, wow, you know, if I could do that again, I definitely would.
My number one favorite was probably winning the world title for the
that's a good number one.
But the 16th time I won it was actually my last backyard match, and then that was my very last match, and it was the very last match ever that we did. And but 4 years later, we come back, and I love the return. Like, I'm a lot bigger now, because when I finished, I was at least 90 pounds at the time. Now I'm at 270 pounds at 6'1".
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I come back,
quite a bit different. Yeah.
And four years later, I come back, title on my shoulder, and I bring up a big, like, he was really a nobody, but we started putting the videos on YouTube of this return, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to make him into a sub somebody, because he used to be one of my best friends, and, like, I don't hold no grudges, but I would love to return with BPW right now, because we're stuck in the middle of a storyline because we ain't talking anymore. But I really would like to continue that, but I love my – favorite moment is when he actually beat me in our very first match against each other. And it was a backyard brawl match. Like, it was pretty much like a false count anywhere match, but it was all over the backyard.
Wow. That's interesting. Patrick Peaks, our guest, we got 17 minutes. Big Swing, you have any other questions, or are we going to move on to the harder stuff?
I'm good for now, man. You can go forward with it.
Okay. First off, Patrick, real quick here, I want everybody to know that's listening to this interview, we're still doing our contest, and our Facebook page has got a lot of traffic. Whoever likes our page from the end of this show to the beginning of the next show gets automatically qualified to win an autograph from one of this week's guests. And we're kind of hoping, Patrick, that you'll be able to help us out with that. You might be able to send us a few autographs for giveaways if you can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've I've been seeing your text messages telling me to do that and everything. I really haven't had the time to, but I don't really even have no real picture to actually give, but I'm thinking about going to this photo shoot where I train at. They're going to do probably next month, and I'll send it in, or possibly I'll talk to my trainer, see if he can push it a little bit earlier where I can just get my pictures taken, and I can probably do it this weekend, and then I can get them printed by Wednesday, and I'll send them to you.
Also, in case you can, I'm sure Icon will let you sign a picture of him, too. I'm just saying. He loves pictures of himself.
Well, yeah, that's usually what I do is, I send you the request on Messenger, and, yes, I usually ask for one for myself, and then I put you up on my man cave wall, and then I let people know who you are. So, you know.
That is true.
So
yeah, do all that.
Before a big football game or something, I say, This is the king of backyard wrestling. Now, speaking of backyard wrestling, now we're going to get into the tough stuff of the interview.
Oh boy!
You mentioned that you're just starting to train right now. So I ask all independent wrestlers this, and I'm going to put it to you because no one ever answered the same way. Two part question. Now, let's say that I know you're just starting out training, like I said, but let's say that someone from like AEW or Ring of Honor or the WWE sees you at one of your events, and they come and talk to you on the show and say, "Hey, we're having tryouts next week, and if things go well, we have a big contract we'd offer you." Two part question: one, is that something you'd want to do? And two, if you get that big time contract, will you not big time with us and still talk to us and still be our friend?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Ring of Honor decided to send me a contract. I would, an 88% chance that I would say no to them. And I would say no to AEW. Because I'm more focused on WWE, because WWE has always held a special place in my heart.
Hmm.
Well, that's understandable. But, with AEW, it could be a stepping stone to the WWE.
Yeah, but they keep themselves pretty separate. I mean, they're AEW is the closest thing to WCW right now, and you know how Vince feels about that. But I was just wondering, though, you mentioned WWE has the spot in your heart, and that's the contract that obviously you ultimately be aiming for. From a backyard wrestling standpoint, with what WWE is doing right now, and again, it's been a while since I've actually sat down and digested an episode, but based on what I've been seeing, would your style really correlate? I mean, I think that, the whole PG era and no blood and no violence and no anything, I would think that that would be something that would ultimately get boring for you. As much as you love WWE, from a sentimental standpoint, it might get boring for you because you can't really fight the way you're used to fighting, the way you love fighting.
Well, it really wouldn't get me bored because nobody, like me, I hate bleeding. I do. Because I would not want, like, if somebody told me that I don't have to bleed anymore in my career of wrestling, I would literally look at him and I said, "Thank you."
True. I can see it.
But the backyard wrestling that we've done in BPW and before BPW, it really just stuck with pretty much a WWE storyline and pretty much the rated version, like PG. But I really, really would think that if you do backyard wrestling, I would really look at you and tell you that you're stupid. Because I really wish I didn't do any of the backyard wrestling. I really do. Because all these matches that I've done is starting to come back on me. Because I'm starting to feel it in my body. Because I can be hanging out with my buddies or something, and I'd be sitting there having my fist and my backbone pushing it forward, trying to make it pop. Because my back hurt so much from doing all the doing bumps on the solid ground and jumping off of things. Like, it really takes a toll on you at such a young age. But a lot of people think that when you're at a young age, you don't feel back pain. You don't feel nothing. You don't have no nerves. It will wear out on you if you keep on doing it constantly.
Hmm. That makes sense.
That's awesome. So we have our buddy here as a guest here. Now, here's the thing. Now, I guess I can understand, you know, having, you know, a special loyalty to the WWE. I can understand that. And, you know, so here's my next question for you then. And we have Patrick McPeak as our guest here. We have 10 minutes. You know, doing the backyard wrestling, you know, you seem like you would be a great candidate for being like a hardcore champion. How about that? Would that be something that you set your sights on?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, my main goal is to win every single title known to man in the WWE. Like, if they bring back the hardcore championship, I would be all over that. Like, I'd be like, all right, they're pushing me for the world heavyweight title, and I see the hardcore championship, I'm just going to be like, all right, hold the storyline with the world title. I got to get this first.
Now, with that being said, and, you know, backyard wrestling, we know that it's basically no holds barred, and, you know, you use whatever's available to you. So you wouldn't care if it was thumbtacks or baseball bats or tack backs and wood slats.
Barbed wire,
you
baseball bat.
It doesn't matter.
Everything else sounds fine except for the thumbtacks, because I've actually never done thumbtacks.
Well, me and
but
this,
I've landed. Now I've took a bump on Legos.
Really? Now,
yeah,
hey,
I took a bump on Legos.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know it's like to step on one of those things. So, geez, the thing about Legos is they'll leave the mark on your back, but they won't stick into you. You know.
Now, let me ask you this: have you ever watched Inside the Ropes, like any of their interviews or anything? Because there's two that you need to watch is Chris Jericho and Edge. They actually talked about their hardcore matches, like Chris Jericho and Dean Ambrose in the Insane Asylum or whatever it was. And then you got Mick Foley and Edge's hardcore match at WrestleMania. They actually do stick in you, but pretty long. But they cut it down where it's almost a centimeter or more, but they do stick into you, and it will draw blood.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, though, it's still not something I'd want to do. We have Patrick. Patrick is our guest here. We got 8 minutes. So, with that being said, we won't touch too much on it because we know COVID sucks. But how has COVID affected what you're doing in your area there?
It really hasn't really affected us much, because mostly everybody in North Carolina is a bunch of rednecks. They usually go, they probably would just do whatever they want to and don't care about anything else. Like, a lot of people that go into Walmart or something, they'll tell them to wear masks. They'll just look at you and say, screw off, and they're just going to walk in without no masks. That, they really can't do anything. Like, they really won't listen to anybody. But the backyard wrestling in today's time, COVID hasn't really affected VPW at all, because the only thing that really affected them was their parents and my parents, because pretty much all parents really are very, very strict about it, about COVID, and we just didn't listen to them, and we just did it anyways. But we just took a lot of segments out of our matches to make it shorter so we can do it, and then everybody gets home faster and to try to avoid any type of COVID symptoms. But it really hasn't affected us much.
So if you know what it is, let us know when your next match might be, when it is, where it is, and if people are allowed to come check it out.
Well, I can already tell you that I've already got a match coming up. I'm going to be doing my very last backyard wrestling match that I'm ever going to do. It's going to be my retirement. And I've already picked my opponent. We haven't decided what his name's going to be yet. But when I do that match with him, it's going to be an awesome match, and it will not disappoint anybody. And we haven't settled a date yet, but Icon, I'll text you when the date will be, and it will be uploaded on YouTube. I'll send you the channel and everything. Y'all can do a review on it, and we'll just settle it on from there.
Well, I got a better idea. Why don't we do this? We'll have you come back on the show, and what we'll do is Big Swing and Granny and myself will have YouTube loaded up, and we'll have you loaded up, and we'll do a watch-along, and you can give us commentary on the match as we're watching it together. How's that sound to you?
That might be really, really cool to do. You know what? I'm down. We'll do it.
All right, we will do that, so you keep me posted, and we'll definitely get that done. So real quick here, we only got a few minutes, and I'm having fun with this interview. It's just awesome. So you mentioned at the beginning of the, you had your last match and you came back to it. Now you're going to retire. You're not going to be like one of those. You're not going to be like Ric Flair and retire and then come back and retire and then retire and then come back, are you?
No, this is a one and done. As soon as I'm done with backyard, I'm sticking to pro, because starting to get worried that when I do a backyard match, I've got a higher chance of getting hurt, and I don't want to end up getting hurt where it'll affect the rest of my career where I can't do wrestling no more. Because if I don't do wrestling, I'm going to be a real miserable person, and I'm just going to be depressed all the time.
And I hope you won't get offended with this comparison, but, you know, you guys, his pro picture with his which is a little different. He kind of reminds me a lot of Dean Ambrose. He just looks like him with his black attire. He's awesome. I hope you don't mind that comparison, but you remind me of him when I first saw you.
Well, don't. I'm not offended at all, because I've been told by a lot of people that I look a whole lot like Dean Ambrose. But when I was little, and I had the long blonde hair, when my hair was down to my shoulders, people always called me a meanie Dolph Ziggler.
A meanie Dolph Ziggler. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. I just had that blonde hair, and I always wore them trunks that had the little zipper on the front of it, like what he used to wear. That's what I used to wear.
Yes, you've got about 2 minutes. So real quick here, so we can do this. If our fans want to check you out and see what you're doing and keep tabs on you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a GoFundMe, a Life Flight Fund, what do you got?
Got Instagram. I got Snapchat and Facebook, and that's about it.
Awesome.
Oh,
well, I'll tell you
YouTube.
What.
I forgot about YouTube.
Well, I'll tell you what. You have been awesome. And real quick here, on YouTube, which match do you want people to gravitate towards? What would you want them to check out? Which one is your most proud of?
Go to BPW Championship Wrestling and look up Tony the Cowboy Adams versus Jacob the Ace Castro. That's the one that you need
awesome.
To watch. And it's the... And it's the BPW World Championship match. And I'll see all of our brawls that we had before that match.
Awesome. Definitely do that.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We have about 30 seconds, so we do appreciate you joining us, and hopefully you'll be able to send us out some autographs whenever you get around to it. We appreciate all you do, and we'll definitely have you back on again. And I guarantee you we'll be the first podcast to ever do a watch-along with the wrestler. I mean, there's other podcasts doing it, but it'll be the first time we've ever done it, anybody's ever done it with a wrestler. So we'll do that with you.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right, thank you so much, man. That's an honor.
Thanks, Patrick.
Yeah,
all right.
Have a good night, guys.
Thanks, buddy. All right, that's awesome. So our next guest should be calling in certainly shortly, I do believe.
Well, yeah, we have a 601 and a 678.
All right, let me look back at my notes here. Because, you know, some of these people I have to all right, 678 is who you want to put on.
678. Well, I know that the 601 has been waiting for a little bit. They were actually on hold this entire time. Do you want to see who they are first, or?
I know who they are. They're going to help with my event at the end.
Oh, okay. And we have a 701 number as well that just popped on the line also.
I have no idea who that is.
Which is your area code.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
Let's put on the 701 as a fellow North Dakotan. What's up?
Hello?
Who's this?
Hey, Icon, can you hear me?
Yeah.
What's going on with you and the Red Hawks? You say you're going to talk about it. Let's hear about it.
Well, I'm not going to talk about it now. I'm going to talk about it at the end.
Oh, are you going to talk about Jerry Thomas too, Dan?
Yes, he is.
Most definitely. Yep.
He's an asshole.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we
yes,
know that.
Yes, that's what Icon's been getting at. How about
okay,
this?
Well, so you got.
You're welcome
you
to stay on hold. You're welcome to stay on hold, or you can try calling back in about 45 minutes, give or take. It's up to you.
Yeah, I guess I'll. Well, before I stay on hold, I gotta have a shit. Hold on.
Yo, I got, wow. Northern Flush guy is back, and yo, he actually knew about your situation, too. Wow, he's doing his research for his trolling now. Lovely. All right, well, I'm going to put the 678 on, man, if the 601 is going to be helping you.
All right.
I'm going to go from there, so.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle. He is the next coming down to the ring. As he steps to the ropes, let's welcome him right now. We have A-Rod Axel Foley.
Well, hello there. Yes, it is the famous SVW World Champion, the Madman Axel Foley. And you're listening to the Attitude Era Live with the host, the Icon, the Big Swing, and Granny Holster.
Hey, Axel, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. How about y'all?
Good. So here's what we'll do, just like with the last guest. If you want to give us a little background about yourself, and then we'll interview you and have some fun.
Not a problem.
Go ahead. Give us a little background.
Yeah, well, like I said, I work for the promotion Southern Violence and Wrestling down here in Athens, Georgia at the Southern Brewing Company. But yeah, man, I've been such a big fan of wrestling, man, since the mid 80s. Just truly enjoyed watching wrestling as a fan and whatnot, and I got my start in the ring with one of my good friends, my buddies, goes by Nitrous, around 2001. And like I said, just really didn't do full-time wrestling until about 2014. And then I just been on the go ever since then and whatnot. So,
Now, with your name, you know, Axel Foley, you know, some may ask, like our chat room is going to talk about right now, did you get your name from a famous 80s movie?
Good old Beverly Hills Cop. I kind of use it, well, because my last name is Foley, so that is my legal last name. Axel is just my name, just, of course, using just changing the letters around. But it really kind of stemmed from when I was a kid in middle school. My PE coach just used to, all of a sudden out of the blue, just started calling me Axel and was be like Axelrod, A-Rod at times. And then it just stuck. It just, you know, from when I lived in Texas, that's what I was called. And then when I moved down to Georgia, kids in school, friends of mine, and even family members would just call me Axel at times. So it just kind of stuck, and then I just kept and just used it ever since, you know, when I got into wrestling.
Well, see, you're lucky because your gym teacher, you know, used to, you know, call you A-Rod, and I'm going to call you A-Rod because I like that. But see, you're lucky, but because when I was in gym class, you know, I'm the icon now, but back in the day, my gym teacher used to call me Pick Him Last.
Oh man, dang! Was there a reason why you just get called Pick Him Last?
Because I was always picked last.
Well, man, that's just not a cool thing by that gym teacher, huh?
Well, no. Well, eventually he would make me probably the coolest. Manager in the history of boys and girls basketball in the state of North Dakota. So everything worked out.
Well, that's always a good thing. That's good.
So we have A-Rod as our guest here. We have 25 minutes. So now with your career, and you've been, you know, as long as you've been doing it, have you, you obviously travel. Where is a place that, you like to always go where you seem to always be perceived well?
Well, like I said, I've pretty much just been working, like I said, in Athens with Southern Violence and Wrestling. It's based at the Southern Brewing Company there. So, yeah, it's just been received pretty good, you know, within that area. Of course, it being a big-time college town, you know, with the Georgia Bulldogs, UGA. So, but we definitely draw just a lot of fans. Are just so much into it and whatnot, and not just even with me. I mean, there's a lot of great talent within SVW, guys and girls, and it's. I mean, we get well received. It's like I said, it's just pretty overwhelming and whatnot. But for the most part, yeah, that's where I've been really working for right now. But hopefully just seeing that I might be able to kind of branch myself a little bit more in different areas and whatnot as well, too.
A-Rod's our guest here. We have 23 minutes. So now, when you wrestle, would you consider yourself to be a babyface, a heel, an in-between, or are you more of a crowd guy, what they think you're going to be?
For the most part right now with how things are going, part of a faction, it's called Fame, and we're pretty much the heels right now. So it's just one of those things, obviously, you know, I have a lot of fun with it as, you know, being the heel. So it's just great that you can just react to everything the fans throw at you, you know, and.
Well, then A-Rod, you're going to love this. Granny, we have another heel. What do you got?
This is the heel night, obviously. And hello, I'm Granny Hulkster. I'm not a wrestler. I'm just a fan of the sport. And Granny does not like the heels. And you sound like I would have a lot of fun talking some smack to you, buddy, because I think you'd be a lot of fun to play with.
Oh, yeah. Come on with it.
Well, I would love to, because I'll tell you, I've had a lot of my heel wrestling family members. They tell me to sit down and shut up before I break a hip. I'm only 58 years old. Or they tell me, don't you have a curfew at the nursing home?
Oh, wow.
So, and yeah. I always have a real good response coming back with that one. So, I don't have a curfew. I don't need a curfew. I got keys to the building, baby.
Oh, look at that. She's got the keys running the show.
Now, I've got the keys to the building, and I made a wrestler cry that night when I said that to him because I almost hit him in his nose when I said that to him. So,
oh, wow.
I guess one of my questions to you is, if you had an opportunity to have a dream match, any kind of dream match, what kind of match would you want it to be, and who would you want to face?
Oh, man. Big dream match. Wow. If I was really, like I said, for me, as again, as big fan, I would probably really want to go, you know, against guys like, you know, AJ Styles, you know, Shawn Michaels, you know, and then, of course, The Rock. So maybe if I could get them all in that infamous, like, a good old little fatal four-way, you know, where I could just have all the guys that really I've always grown up watching and whatnot all
at
one time.
There you go. You know,
so it really just, like, make it that much more impactful and whatnot. So, yeah, I think that would be, like, a fun style kind of match to go with. With those
well,
three guys.
I know you said you'd like to, you know, venture out to other places. Have you ever thought of wrestling in Arkansas? Because that's where I live. I live in Springdale, Arkansas. And we've got a couple local wrestling companies around here.
Definitely if the door's open and the opportunity is, you know, is available. Yeah, I would love to. You know,
and then I have some friends also over in Oklahoma. We do a wrestling show called Wrestling for a Cause, where we do shows for kids that are fighting childhood cancer. Matter of fact, we did our first 2-day event last weekend for a little girl that lived in Wagner, Oklahoma. We raised like $2,000 for her and her family, and that's the first show we've been able to do for a child in over a year because of COVID. So it was fun to get to do, you know, get to do that again to help a child. So.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. That's always, you know, I'm always one that's, you know, just loves to be able to give back, you know. I mean, like I said, me obviously being grown up, you know, in the church itself. So it's like one thing I've just always love just to be able to do is just be a blessing to others, you know, in any way that I possibly can. So, yeah, definitely doing things for the kids, because for me, it's just everything is full circle. Like, I was them at one point in time as a fan of wrestling, and when my stepdad used to take me to the shows and whatnot, you know, I mean, for me, they were larger than life when I was a kid. So to now be the guy that's, you know, for these kids, I'm larger than life for them. It's just a full circle thing, you know, and definitely for the kids, man, it's always a cool thing to be able to do, you know, to, you know, when everybody gets together and just for a good common cause, you know, especially for kids like that, you know, in those types of situations, you know, I think that's an awesome thing to do.
We'll have to work on getting you. We'll have to work on getting you a part of the country then.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, Roger, guest here. We've got about 18 minutes. Now I'm going to introduce you to Big Swing. He's an edgehead. What do you got for our guest? Go ahead, Big Swing.
Hold on. I had to turn the microphone back on there. I was kind of doing something on the side. I didn't want it to come through. So kind of take us through a little bit. I know you gave us some background before, but kind of take us through how you got into this. What were some of your inspirations, motivations, anybody you looked up to, anybody that, you know, really kind of drove you to do this? Because it's not every day that people get into the wrestling business, you know? So just wondering kind of what brought you to where you're at.
Yeah, sure. So I said, you know, I'm a military brat, so my parents were in the military, so we traveled, obviously. I was born in New Jersey, and we moved to Germany when we got stationed out there, and was out there for 6 years. So we moved back to the States, and we moved in down in San Antonio, Texas, and we've been there for about a year. Well, I think it was probably like a Saturday morning. and I'm just scrolling through the channels to the TV, just probably trying to look for like some cartoons. And I just happened to all of a sudden click on it was back then WWF Superstars. And they were just going over the whole incident where the Mega Powers were exploding when Hogan and their tag match left because Elizabeth got hurt and he was taking her to the back. And then Macho comes back after the match and he's just raising Kane and pissed off. And he just attacks Hogan and just starts beating the crap out of him. I was like, when I saw that, I was like, holy cow, this is like freaking awesome. Like, you know, these guys are just beating the crap out of each other, you know. And I'm like, at the time, you know, talking about an 8-year-old, you know, watching this stuff. So I was just like, just so intrigued. And from that point on, I mean, I was just hooked. Like, so I just never stopped watching. I just every Saturday morning I was watching it, you know, whenever they had Saturday night's main event, I was watching. And, you know, Macho was one of the cool guys I always used to like watching. And then Jake the Snake was another big time wrestler I used to love watching. And then probably within the 90s, once I eventually got wind of, you know, the NWA WCW, and I was able to start watching them too. And, you know, watching Sting and Flair. And so, yeah, I just, from that time on, man, I just was just so hooked. And but like I said, when we moved to Georgia and been here for a few years, I met my, who I call just like my brother from another mother, Nitrous. We worked together and we come to find out we were both big wrestling fans and, you know, we both like Shawn Michaels, you know, and whatnot. So him and his brother and friends used to do backyard wrestling. So they were like, hey, man, you want to do backyard wrestling with us? And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? You know, so, you know, we're over here backyard wrestling, you know, with friends. Some of my cousins, you know, were backyard wrestling with us. And we did that up until about, like I said, we were like 17, 18 years old. And then doing that for a few years. And then one time my buddy, like I said, he was working out at the gym that used to be around. It's called Firehouse Fitness. And he ran into Rocky King, who was actually had his own promotion. And he used to, you know, work with NWA back then. So definitely, yeah, we got in with him and he was willing to train us for free. And, you know, as long as we just helped out everywhere, basically paying our dues. So, that's how we got our start in the ring was through him. And, I worked a few shows, but at the time I was already starting to work full time with Delta. So I couldn't really pursue it like I wanted to. Like my buddy, he had more of a flexible schedule. So that whole time afterwards, I never got into the ring, you know, not until about, you know, 2014, you know, I eventually got through, one of my friends sent me a flyer for, it was like a Christian wrestling promotion called KFW, got in there and I was just going to work referee work, but then a spot opened up for me to, you know, what the guy wanted to do, was going to do a main event spot and his friend didn't want to do it. So I ended up taking the place for him. And once I, you know, heard the fans just going nuts, it's, and then like a lot of all wrestlers will tell you that it's just like a drug, that high you get just hearing them just, you know, interacting, you're just so into it, and it just stuck. So I just kept on going from then, you know, worked with other promotions like DCWM, and then some CWFG, GCW, and TAP, and All-Star Wrestling. But I eventually got in with Southern Violence and Wrestling back in 2018, and I've been running with them ever since.
A-Rod's our guest here. We have about 13 minutes. So now we're going to come back. I'm going to ask you some of the tougher questions.
Okay.
First question, you know, because I ask all independent wrestlers this, no one ever answers it the same way, so I'll put it to you. Two-part question. Let's say that you're in a match, and, you know, you've been in the business for quite some time now, but let's say, like, someone from AEW or Ring of Honor or WWE is at a show that you're doing, and they come and talk to you backstage and say, hey, we're doing tryouts next week. We want you to come try out. And then, you know, you get the tryout, and then they want to sign you to a multi-year, million-dollar contract. Two-part question. One, is that something you'd want to do? And two, if you do get that opportunity, well, you're not big time, but you'll still talk to us and still be our friend.
Oh, man. Well, first part to that question, yeah, who wouldn't? You know, it's I mean, I definitely would, you know, take the offer, you know, if it's put on there. Heck, I mean, definitely be making way more money, obviously, than what I've ever made in my life, you know. And two, yeah, like I said, I don't let fame or all that stuff get the best of me. Like, I'm nothing like that. Like, in real life, like, I mean, I'm really just a humble, down-to-earth person, just very gracious and just thankful. I just always say I'm just truly, richly blessed in the Lord to be able to do what I'm able to do, that He's blessed me with this talent. So whoever I encounter is, you know, I always still encounter them the same way. Like, you know, it's like even this status that people might want to push you and say, you're all the way up here. But for me, I just say, it's like, man, I'm still just a normal guy. You know, it's just, I'm just doing something I love and enjoy doing to on a bigger stage, but it still doesn't change me. So
that's awesome. A-Rod's our guest here. We got about 11 minutes. And real quick here, A-Rod, we're going to take a quick little pause and then we'll go back to this. You know, we have a little contest going on here. For anybody that likes our page, Off the Ropes on Facebook, from the end of the show to the beginning of the next show, automatically gets qualified to win an autograph from this week's guest. So the question is, would you be willing to send us a few autographs for giveaways for that show that we're going to do?
Yeah, sure. Not a problem. Definitely not a problem at all.
All right. And I will I'll send the address to you in Messenger, and then whenever you get a chance to do that, that'd be awesome. You know, one thing I noticed on your profile here that, you know, you've had a lot of different looks in your career. I guess, you know, usually I try and do a, you know, I try and do a comparison to what people look like. And, you know, you just had so many different looks and so many cool looks. I guess I don't know from which look I can compare it to. But if I had to, I'd say you have this, you have a cross between Will Smith and the coach.
Well, I guess in some ways it's cool for Will Smith, you know, and for the coach. Well, I mean, there's the coach.
well, you know, at least I didn't say Carlton from French Puss of Bel Air, right? Alfonso Rivera.
Yeah.
So we can go ahead and take time to do this too. If our fans want to check you out and see what you're doing, you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a GoFundMe. What do you got?
Yeah, you can definitely find me obviously on Facebook, which is right now it's Axel A-Rod Foley. On Twitter, I believe it's A-Rod Madness. And on Instagram, I believe I have it as the Madman Axel Foley. So you can find me on there. And as well as you can also follow the Southern Violence and Wrestling page. They have their own page as well, so you can see all the different things that they got posted up on there as well. And usually I have a YouTube channel that connects with it too, which is, again, it's still under Axel A-Rod Foley as well. So
awesome. And real quick here, we won't touch on it too much. You know, COVID, we know it's a real thing and we know COVID sucks, but how has that affected your area and your career and what you're doing out there?
Well, like I said, I believe for the most part from 2020, it pretty much affected everybody. With wrestling, obviously we were put on hold for a few months, but we were able to eventually start back up. I believe it was back in June. We started back up, and you know, the advantage with the brewing company was that they have basically an outside field that's pretty big and pretty large, you know. So at the time, you know, they were still following by a lot of the guidelines, you know, for people to wear masks, obviously, and whatnot. So, you know, we did everything we, you know, as to following those guidelines and rules and whatnot. So So the good thing was it didn't put a damper for too long with wrestling for us. It's been a challenge here and there. I mean, work wise, I do Instacart, so I was still able to work and whatnot. But like I said, the beginning of this year in January, actually, me and my wife and I both ended up getting COVID and whatnot. But, I mean, praise the good Lord, it was very minor, nothing too serious. We just had a little basic minor aches and back, you know, little aches and pains here, headaches, obviously, and whatnot. We did lose our sense of smell and taste for a little bit, but we were able, it eventually came back, you know, within the week. So, but other than that, I mean, you know, we just thank the good Lord, man. You know, we've been okay, and we've, you know, we survived through it mostly and whatnot. So, but with Georgia, it's been, it's been here and there, you know, it's affected quite a bit of people here and there, but they've been, of course, throwing out the vaccines, you know, for people that, you know, want to take the vaccines. They do have now a lot of that more available out here as well, too. So,
A-Rod's our guest here. We got about 5 minutes. If you know when it is, let us know when your next match is, where it is, when it is, and who it might be against, if you know.
Yeah, so our next show for Southern Violence and Wrestling is going to be May 8th. Again, it's live in Athens at Southern Brewing Company. It's presented as It Was All a Dream is the title for it. And I will be facing none other than one of my nemesis, Charlie Anarchy, defending the SBW World title in that match. And, of course, if I lose, then the stipulation is that Fame must disband and be no more and whatnot. So, but like I've always said, and like I tell them all, I am the famous one that sits on the throne of the tippy top of the mountaintop, and I ain't getting knocked off. So, but that's the time frame. It starts at 7:00, and also we air it on Fight TV, so you can get the Fight app. It's a free sign up, and once you sign up, you can pull up Southern Violence and Wrestling. You can catch all our matches, and usually for that show, it'll probably take a couple of weeks for it to actually air on Fight. So, but you can find us on Fight as well.
So I guess you can't get knocked off the mountaintop, but you know, I'll tell you what, if Granny ever shows up there with her cane, she might knock you down.
Well, as I would say to anybody else, and even to Granny, everybody can dream. I just crush it.
I love that. A-Rod,
bring it on, big boy. Bring it on. That's all I got to say.
if you think
you're man enough to make me sit down and shut up or tell me whatever, you know, bring it on. If you think you're man enough, bring it on.
Don't worry, darling. I mean, again, I am the SVW World Champion for a reason, and I'm also the reigning for 290 days. So, yeah, trust me. I will do what needs to be done, and you'll continue to sit there and watch me be great.
Listen to this. Okay. I would definitely have fun interacting with you at a wrestling show.
You mentioned you've been champion for 290 days. What's interesting about that is, do you remember when I booked you as a guest?
Yeah, it was quite a bit, yeah.
I actually booked you as a guest last year, so, that's awesome because we'll just add another notch to our belt because anybody that we book that goes for a championship either just before they come on or after they're booked or after they go for a title, they have never lost. We're like 3,000-0 or something like that, so we've never lost. So you cannot lose that title under any circumstance.
See, Icon, I like that you acknowledge when you were able, you know, when you signed, booked them and everything. But when you mentioned, see, I thought you were going a different place with that. You said, oh, you know, remember you've been the champion for 290 days. I thought you were going to be like, you remember when I booked you 290 days ago? I thought like you were coming up on that anniversary type thing, and you just totally went a different direction with it. So that's fine, but you know.
Well, you know, I like to book our guests far enough advance, but we have A-Rod as our guest here. We got about 60 seconds. So real quick here, what do you got to say to our fans before you sign off?
Well, to all the fans out there, continue to support indie pro wrestling, wherever your local wrestling is around your areas, just continue to support because you never know, it could be the next big star eventually down the road. At the same time, just to continue to be safe. And hey, just always remember, Jesus loves you. And so do I, in a very special kind of way. Because I'm the famous one.
And you keep doing what you're doing, and we will definitely have you on again.
Well, I do appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being on.
Hey, A-Rod, ladies and gentlemen, what an awesome interview. That's awesome. So anyway, so our next guest should be rolling in here shortly.
The 601, right?
No. 601's later. Should be 662 is what you're looking for.
Okay.
So when they
I'll keep on looking, but.
All right, because he just said he's going in, so.
All right, I'll look for it, but.
So we've had, another great night so far, and, you know, we have a little time left on the show, so, 45 minutes to be exact, and, you know,
I'm just waiting on it. While we're waiting for this guest, do you want to give us a little teaser into your event, or?
Well, you know, there's a guy that that's a local radio DJ guy here, and he's been under my skin for, well, let's see, what are we, 2021 right now?
Mm-hmm.
He's been under my skin for about 22 years. And
wow.
Yeah, it's about. You know, people say that I need to let stuff go, but with this guy, there is no letting it go at all. And I'm going to explain that when we go through.
All right. Well, I'm waiting on this number.
All right. So he should be my computer locked up, so I'm going to hurry up and reset before the end of the show.
Yeah, because you may need to jump on the board here at the end. So.
Yeah, I hate to use second rate equipment, but it's a hand me down laptop.
662 is what you're talking about, right?
Correct, yep.
Alrighty, 662 it is. But you too.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle. The man that will send a warrant for your arrest in the ring. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the WWW. He is Wes Warren.
Hey, this is Wes Warren. You're listening to the Attitude Era Live with the host, the icon, the Big Swing, and Granny Hulkster.
How's it going, champ?
It's going good, guys. What's going on?
Well, we're doing all right. We have Wes Warren as our guest here. We have about 28 minutes. So here's what we're going to do real quick. If you want to give us a little background about yourself, then I'll ask you a few questions, then we'll go to Granny, then we'll go to Big Swing, then we'll come back to me and ask you the tough questions. So go ahead.
All right. Yeah, my name's Wes Warren. I've been wrestling for 4 years now out of the state of Mississippi. I spent about 7 months last year there in the pandemic lockdown training out of Booker T School, Reality of Wrestling, and with some luchadors that have been all over the place in this world. I don't pull any punches. I don't take any prisoners. I don't play no games with people around here. I'm straight business. I'm a technical wrestler, and I'd like to get down and dirty when I get in that ring.
So with that being said, you've been in the business for 4 years. Do you travel all over, or do you just pretty much stay close to where you're at?
Well, I started out in Mississippi when I first got started getting my feet wet, but eventually over time I made connections in other states such as Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and Texas, And I've been mainly staying in that general area for the most part of my career, but I'm actually coming back from an ankle injury that I've been rehabbing since December. And one of my main goals is to branch out all over this country, all over this world, so that everybody knows the name Wes Warren.
So you were trained by Booker T, so you obviously got to meet him, right?
No, I didn't. I wasn't trained by Booker T at first. At first, I trained at the Pro Wrestling Ego Dojo out of Jackson, Mississippi, under a guy named the Nightmare Jeremiah, and Jay Andrews, and John Davis are the main guys that had the first part of training. And I still learn every day from those guys, but I did train out of Booker T's for 7 months last year.
All right.
I did learn some stuff from Booker, but I did not. I did not get my start at the reality of wrestling.
Well, yeah, because the reason why I asked is because I was just wondering if he ever said to you, "Can you dig that sucker?" or "Suckers got to know."
No, I've never said that to him. I keep it straight professional.
There you go. Wes Moore is our guest here. We have 25 minutes here. So when you're wrestling, have you considered yourself to be more of a baby face, a heel, an in-between, or are you more of a what a crowd guy thinks you are?
I'm a whatever the crowd guy thinks I am. I come out there and do my thing, and it's up to the crowd to decide whether they like me or not. I don't go out there and outright try to be a jerk to everybody, but I don't go out there and outright pander to everybody either. So it depends on what kind of mood you catch me in on any given day, but I myself for the most part in that ring.
Well, you know what they say. I mean, the fans really decide, you know, everything.
Of course.
So with that being said, Granny, he's not quite a heel, but he could be. What do you have for our guest, Wes Warren? We have 24 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, hello. I'm Granny Hulkster. I'm not a wrestler at all, even though I've been threatened to be thrown in the ring a few times, but I'm just a big, huge fan. I actually have a shirt that I wear. It says, "What you going to do when Granny Hulkster goes crazy on you?" And all my wrestling friends call me Granny. Their spouses call me Granny. Their kids call me Granny. Even the fans call me Granny. So I've had this gimmick name for about probably almost 25 years now. So, and I still have my original Granny shirt, by the way. So I guess one of my questions to you is, what has been one of your most challenging matches, and who was it against?
One of my most challenging matches so far was the guy that initially trained me, the Nightmare Jeremiah. I mentioned him earlier. I had a kendo stick on a pole match with him once. And the reason that was so hard is because we had the object of the match was to pinfalls and submissions were not they were not in play until you had to climb this pole and grab a kendo stick off the pole and bring it into the match into play to use.
Oh, wow.
So
once
that happened, you can only imagine what would ensue after a guy like him. And I got to paint a picture of what this guy looks like. Imagine a cross between Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Imagine Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers and Mankind all wrapped into one with bunch of crazy tattoos and a lust for blood. That's the guy that initially trained me in this business. And I had a match with him for our home promotion's main championship that night in this kendo stick on a pole match.
Wow.
He gives me a nasty power bomb on the ground, and he pursues to go grab this kendo stick. And he wears me out for a solid 5 to 6 minutes. And I don't know if you've ever been hitting with, like, a kendo stick or a bamboo stick or anything like that. Maybe when you were a kid for disciplinary reasons, you know, we all get that. I got it, too. But when it's aimed at your back and your arms and your face and your chest, it's a completely different feeling.
Well,
it's
I've never
like
been hit with a kendo stick, but I've seen it done many a time, so I know how it can hurt.
I got hit back eventually, but... That was definitely one of the most difficult matches I've ever had because I knew what was coming.
Wow.
I knew I wasn't going to like it, and I didn't like it. It left scars and welts all over my back, I still have some of those to this day. So.
Wow. That's amazing.
Wes Warren's our guest here. We got 22 minutes. We'll bring we know that Big Swing, he's got a lot of stuff going on, so we'll bring him on real quick, and then we'll come back to me. What do you got for our guest there, Big Swing? Go ahead.
Hold on. I just had to unmute the microphone here for a second because I got some other stuff in the background. He kind of covered it a little bit. I mean, usually my go-to question is, you know, what – that's involved in the wrestling business. What were some of your, you know, motivations, inspirations, people you looked up to, yada, yada. But kind of covered that a little bit. But, I mean, I guess when you look back at it, take us sort of through your personal journey. Like, what kind of was the day that you said, you know what, yep, this is what I want to do. You know, I'm gonna, because not a lot of people get into wrestling. You know, if they're athletic, they usually play other sports. What kind of was that moment where you were like, yep, this is the business for me. I'm going to do this for the foreseeable future.
Well, to make a short story long, I've always had a fascination about it. And I graduated high school in 2011. And around 2014, I moved out to Tennessee with a friend, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And I got caught up in kind of a rough crowd. And the entire time, and I didn't see a gym for the entire time I was living there. So I get back to Mississippi in the summer of 2016, and I just started wondering what I wanted to do and wondering if I should ever try wrestling. I had cold feet about it for probably about 3 or 4 months before I actually started training. So I just didn't know what to expect or what it was going to be like. But I eventually got the guts to go out and train. And mainly it was, is my thought was, I've always loved this. I've always wanted to do it. It's something I want to make money at doing. And I'm not getting any younger. Eventually, your body's going to break down. You can't do this when you're 60. So I might as well try it now. There's no good time to start. You just got to start. And ever since then,
I like that.
It's been an outlet for me to get out of a bad life that I was living. It's an outlet for me to stay clean, an outlet for me to express myself and relieve tension whenever I can. I do like getting in the ring, getting physical with people. It tends to relieve a lot of tension for me. So that's why I'm so intense in the ring, because it's a reflection of who I am.
Yeah, that's deep. I like that.
That is awesome. We have Wes Warren as a guest here. We have about 19 minutes. So now I'm going to ask you some tougher questions. You know, and you know, I like how you said that. You know, when your body breaks down, you get older. You know, you can't do stuff as much as you want to. But you know, look at Ric Flair. He's like what, 100 or something like that, and he's still going. So my question to you is, let's say that you're at an event, and I ask all independent wrestlers this. Let's say that you're in an event and someone from like Ring of Honor, AEW, or the WWE sees you on a match, and they talk to you after the show and say, hey, you know, we're having tryouts. We want you to come, come try out for us. Now, two-part question. Let's say you get offered that. One, is that something you want to do? And two, when you get that multi-year contract, will you not big time listen and still be our friend and still talk to us?
Oh, God, you guys are crazy, but yeah. Yeah, I would absolutely take the tryout, and of course, yeah. I would mention y'all because y'all gave me a platform to express who I was and tell the world about myself. So, I mean, and honestly, this is one of the first interviews I've ever gotten like this. So, it's pretty cool. So, y'all are definitely gonna be up there. If that ever happens, I'm not one of those guys that likes to bank on the future 100% because you never know what can happen.
What's awesome about that is what's cool about that is you know you're one of those guys like a lot of guests that we've had have never forgot where they come from. You know, there is some guys that will step on people to get to the top. You'll use people to to boost you up to the next rank, the next rung of the ladder, but you're not going to step on it as you're going up, right?
Oh, of course not. I always try to bring people with me. I've got when I was out in Texas last summer, I learned a lot of. I was around a lot of group of guys that were really supportive of each other. And I had never really seen anything like that. It was a bunch of group of guys that were just like 10, 15, 20 of us that were always like, you know, hooting and hollering at each other to get better at training. It really just brought like the only way you are going to truly succeed is if like you bring along people with you, because I was taught from a very early point in this business where I think I could be paraphrasing here, but the expression is the people you see on the way up are the same people you're going to see on the way back down. So don't step on any toes, don't rub people the wrong way if you can help it, and you know, just don't be a jerk in general, because that's the main takeaway I got from when I started. Just don't try to backstab anybody, because somebody's going to try to backstab you, maybe.
That's awesome. And, you know, it's interesting how you put that. I actually, you know, we've had a lot of different answers to that, and I actually like that answer better than most that we've had. That is awesome. So that's cool. Westmore's I guess to be about 15 minutes. We won't touch on this too much because you know we all know that it sucks. But you know we all know that COVID's a real thing, and you know I think we're starting to turn the corner in it compared to where we were a year ago. But let us kind of know how COVID has affected your career and how it's affected you and what you're doing out there.
You asked how COVID has affected my career?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the funny thing about COVID is, I know I keep harping back on my time in Texas last summer, but the weird thing is I moved out there at the very tail end of February, and the whole lockdown happened mid-March. So I had about 2 weeks of normalcy out there in Texas where everything got shut down. And once that happened, all the shows got shut down and all that. So there wasn't a lot of shows running every single weekend during the week. So that was the perfect opportunity for me to dig my heels into the ground and just focus on what I initially came out there for, was to just train and get better on a consistent basis. So it helped me in that sense. And it also helped me see that this shows are going to come back eventually, but we have to be ready when they do. And it's not the time to slack off at all.
So with that being said, Wes Warner, I guess we got 13 minutes. Do you know if you do, when your next show is, when is it, where is it, and who might it be against?
Well, the thing about that is I'm currently recovering an ankle injury that I suffered back in December. I had a compound ankle fracture, and I would say I'm about 95% as I was saying these words. By June, July, I'll be back 100% ready to go. But right now I'm still nursing back an ankle injury, and I'm just being safe about it because I really don't want to hurt it again. As of right now, I couldn't tell you when my next match is going to be. But if I had to put an exact guess, it'll be anytime between June and August.
Well, what I want you to do is I want you to keep me posted on when your next match is. That way we can try and get you back on, and then you can promote it.
Absolutely. I'll do that for sure.
Awesome. And, you mentioned, you know, your ankle injury. Who was it against that you got that ankle injury with?
Wasn't in a match. It was actually a training session. I was down in Pascagoula, Mississippi. I was actually supposed to wrestle that night. It was December 19th, 2020 in Pascagoula, Mississippi. I went down there. I drove myself down there and by myself, and I ended up injuring my ankle in the ring, rolling around, just kind of doing a little bit of training before the show, just getting a little warmed up. And I had to pull out of the show. I couldn't make it. So I went to the ER, the emergency room, right when it happened. It says it's completely broken. And I didn't have anybody in the car with me. So I had to use my big toe to operate the gas on my broken ankle, drive back to my house 3 hours.
And, well, let me ask you this. When it happened, did you know what it was, or did you have an inkling of what it was because of the pain, or did they tell you when you got to the hospital or the clinic or whatever?
I knew the moment it happened it was really, really bad. I could tell right then. I couldn't put any pressure on it. I couldn't put any pressure on it, and it swelled up within minutes. By the time I got to the emergency room, and the emergency room was not far from the venue I was at, it was probably a solid 6-7 minute drive from door to door. And by the time I got out of the car to go into the emergency room, my foot was and ankle were completely swollen. And I would say I was probably in crutches and in a boot for about two and a half months for sure. It wasn't until around early to mid March that I started walking without all that boot and crutches.
So we can get this in. We have Wes Warren, I guess, here. We have about 10 minutes. If our fans wanted to check you out and see what you're doing and follow you, you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a GoFundMe, used crutches for sale. What do you got?
Man, I'd love to sell those used crutches. They could autograph them and maybe make some money on them one day. That'd be a pretty cool story. But in all seriousness, my Twitter handle is Wes_Warren24, ES_Warren24. And also my Instagram is Wes Warren. That's WESS_Warren. So that's Wes with two S's, Wes_Warren. And I am also on Facebook, too. You can type in my name, Wes Warren. Just pull me up. You can follow me on there. And that's all my social medias.
That's awesome. Wes Warren is our guest here. We got about 9 minutes. So now I was kind of curious, you know, with your particular injury, you know, you're obviously in pain and, you know, you got to work your way back. But what kind of training do you try and maintain when you're injured like that?
Well, at first I couldn't do any lower body workouts, so it was all upper body. But ever since I could start putting pressure on my ankle and utilize it, I've been doing a lot of strength training exercises. So I was fortunate enough that I didn't need surgery on this thing. It just kind of healed back naturally. So around March 3rd, the doctor said, it's healed. All you got to do is just give it some time to build the strength back up, and you'll be good to wrestle again. He said about 6 weeks. Now, it's been over 6 weeks then, but I still feel comfortable with it. A lot of guys, some of the mentors I have in wrestling told me, if you got an injury, especially with an ankle, wait till you're 100%, and then wait another 2 weeks. And I heard that. I said, you know what? I'll be even better. I'll wait another 4 months. So I could probably start wrestling, honestly, in about 2 weeks if I wanted to. But I think it's probably the safer route to go later in the year. Because with the type of injury I have, it could be very serious.
But you also don't want to run the risk of potentially doing it again, you know, too soon. That happens a lot sometimes when people rush back from injuries. I mean, even if you're 100%, there's always that, you know, potential of it, you know, happening again. So
yeah, and the thing about that is there's always that fear that it's going to happen again too, because that's the bigger thing. I actually listened to a podcast recently, Christian Cage. He just got on AEW. He went on Jericho's podcast. He was talking about his concussion, and because you know he had to retire because of concussion issues. And before he came back to WWE recently, the doctors told him that you're not in any more risk of getting a concussion now than you ever were. So you can't go out there thinking you're going to get another concussion because it's going to hold you back. And that stuck with me because I feel like that's the same thing. I mean, I know concussions and ankle injuries are not exactly the same thing, but I feel like it's the same concept, the same mindset you got to be in. And if I'm going to have mindset, I'm absolutely for sure that my ankle's healed up before I even run the risk.
Well, sometimes if you have a very serious injury, chances are, you know, if you play or fight or whatever you do as your sport, if you do it the same way you did it beforehand and you rehab properly or whatever, chances are if it's a super serious, crazy injury, it's not going to happen again. But if you baby it, if you favor it, if you're thinking about it, and you misstep, you know, it could happen again. I've seen it happen again when people think more about it than when they just play like it never happened to begin with. So, yeah, just don't let it get to your head. Go out and do your thing, and, you know, hey, everything happens for a reason. So, you know, we'll maybe you'll come back even stronger from it this time.
Yeah, I'm hoping I have some of those, like, mutant healing abilities where my bones heal back stronger than they were.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I hope that happens to Dak Prescott, too, since the Cowboys actually have a quarterback this season. But anyway, my I digress. So, Icon, are you still here with us? Because you've been awfully quiet, and that's unusual for you.
Well, we have Wes Morris, I guess, here. We have about 5 minutes here left. All right. So, with that, with all that going on, you know, you mentioned you don't know when your next match is, but if you had the chance or the option, who is one person you'd like to get back in the ring again with?
The question was who I would like to face again or somebody new?
Yeah.
Again?
Yeah, I think it's an opponent that you faced before that you would love to get back in the ring with again if you had the chance.
Well, one guy I'd like to get back in the ring with again that I haven't wrestled in probably since before I got hurt, a few months before I got hurt, was Ray Fury. He runs around the same area I do. I've known him. He saw me take my first bumps. So, like, he's kind of a mentor and a friend to me in this business, too. So, if I had to choose a guy again I would like to face, I've already faced before, it would definitely be him. I've only had two matches with him, but I feel like if we just keep banging him out and having more matches, they'll get better, and I know they will. But
Icon, can we set up his return match against Sylvester Fox?
That, I know Granny would like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
That'd be amazing.
I might have to,
a golf club on a pole match. Like whoever gets to the golf club gets to use it first kind of a thing. You know, we could do something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Golf club would hurt too, just about kendo sticks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
unless you can sometimes break a kendo stick, you can't necessarily break a golf club.
Well, I know, but you can bend it awfully well, though.
Golf club can break you, though.
Yes,
club can break you for sure.
Well, I want to kind of go back to, hardcore matches. Now, is that something that you like to do, or would you rather just do for technicals?
I'm down for any type of match, honestly. I was in a match about a year ago where it was a TLC match, and there were also Kendo Sticks and Adores utilized, too. It was five-way ladder match. But, I'm down to do any type of match. Straight technical wrestling, brawling, hardcore. I'll literally try it all.
Well, that leads me to my next question. So when you wrestle, would you consider yourself to be more like a high flyer, like a Rey Mysterio, an ass kicker like Stone Cold Steve Austin, or a more technical wrestler like Bret the Hitman Hart?
I'm sorry, guys. You're breaking up a little bit. What was that?
Well, when you wrestle, would you consider yourself to be a high flyer like a Rey Mysterio, a technical wrestler like Bret Hart, or just an ass kicker like Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Well, for you, for those names, I would probably say Bret Hart, because I really like the way he wrestles.
Okay.
But I think it would still have to share that same impression as Steve Austin, though, that intensity. But if I had to pattern my thing, it would be after Bret Hart, because it's the intensity of
problems. That's awesome. So,
you know who was super Icon? You know who was super intense? Also very good technically, but super intense. And I'm talking from 97 till the end. Actually, 96 till the end. And I believe we mentioned this guy earlier, but Sting. I don't think anyone really realized how intense, even though quiet, didn't say more than two words in 4 years, but how intense Sting was in the ring as well. And I could sort of see Wes being kind of similar to that too, based on what he's described, is kind of that doesn't say too much, doesn't really come out, not really in your face, but can lay somebody down if they need to.
Oh, I'm in your face. Sure.
No, you're in your – well, okay. All right, well, that too. I mean, verbally. You don't strike me as a guy who's too much of a shit talker, but I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Oh, yeah. You'll have to see. I got it in me.
So, Icon, you with us? What are we doing here? You know, you're not usually quiet for this stretch, this amount of time.
Well, no, I'm here. I'm just trying to get this laptop up and running. You know what they say about technical issues, you know?
Well, you don't have to worry about running it, dude. You want to talk about technology? I've actually got the show up and running from my phone in the car right now. So, because I have to head over to the satellite station to do something real quick. So, I'm actually running the board and everything from the car. So, you want to talk about technology, Icon? There you go. That's technology 101.
All right. Well, let me ask you this, Wes. Have you ever thought about tag team? You know, because I have a mask. You know, but I usually just break it out on the weekends. But have you ever thought of a tag team?
Have I ever been in a tag team?
Well, no. Have you ever thought about doing a tag team? I think you and I would make great tag team partners.
Really?
Do you have any wrestling experience, Icon?
Well, you know what?
Icon, before he answers this question, if he would team with you, why don't you go ahead and tell him what your finishing move is, which in other words is disqualification. But go ahead, tell him what your finishing move is before he answers if he'll team with you.
Well, the deal is, as long as the referee's back is turned, it's perfect. It's called the junk punch him in the man business.
Yeah. Or DQ, lose the match. There you go.
What they don't know won't hurt them, right?
Right.
I guess so.
It's funny about me. You know, it's like, if I had to wrestle, I would definitely be a babyface, but some people say I have heel tendencies. You know, for some reason I have that, you know, X-Pac heat. I'm sure you've heard that term, but and I don't know where it comes from, but I just don't get it. You know. So anyway, well, I'll tell you what, Wes, we've had a blast with you. We definitely want to have you back on with us. Keep us posted on when your next match is, and then we'll try and get you on a little bit before, like a week before, and you can tell us everybody about it, and then we'll get it taken care of.
All right, guys, I appreciate y'all having me on. It's been a blast talking to you guys. Thanks for letting me come on here.
And then real quick here, we do have a contest going on. Anybody that likes our Facebook page from the end of the show to beginning of the next show automatically is qualified to win autographs from one of the guests this week. Would you be willing to send us some autographs for some giveaways?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
All right, I sent you all the information. I sent you all the information on Messenger, so whenever you can get to that, we'd appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks,
Wes.
Thanks, bud. Take care. Yep.
All right, guys. Y'all be good.
All right. All right, Wes Warren is our guest. That was awesome. So anyway, real quick here, I just want to talk a little bit about some things that have been going on lately.
Yes, we need to hear this. We need to hear this rant. This vent. This needs to happen.
Well, you know the NFL draft is coming up, right?
I do. I have to cover it Thursday night. Yes.
Let me ask you this: where do you think Trey Lance will go? From what you know, you're on a sports show all day. What do you think?
I mean, I'm hearing different things. I'm hearing that John Elway is sick of having nobody at quarterback, and they don't really feel confident in Drew Lock. I'm thinking that if Mac Jones goes before that, they could pull the trigger on him. But what I'm thinking is that Mac Jones probably ends up in Denver if they go quarterback. And I'm thinking because of the competition level that Trey Lance played in college, which, yes, they're a national championship team, but they still are FCS. I'm thinking that he ends up in New England, which would be an ideal situation for him under Belichick and Josh McDaniel. I think that would be obviously a great situation for him to come in and probably learn under Cam Newton for a year or two and become, you know, an all-star more so than, another team.
So you think Trey would go to New England?
If he doesn't go to Denver, I had him going to Carolina. But Carolina just traded for Sam Darnold now, so they got Darnold and Bridgewater. So I'm thinking it's either Denver. The only two teams that are going to need a quarterback after the initial three go are going to be Denver and New England. So that's where I would see, yeah. Because I don't think they're going to bring him in as a backup. I think they're going to bring him in as a potential starter, maybe a one-year sitter type of thing.
And let me ask you this. You think who do you think goes first between Trey Lance and Justin Fields? Because you know I'm a fan of both teams. And
between Trey Lance and who?
Justin Fields.
Oh, Fields? Definitely Fields. Fields is going to go number three. It's going to. I'm telling you, and I'm going to put money on this. It's going to go Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields. But here's the thing: the 49ers now, I think, are going to part ways with Garoppolo. Garoppolo could end up back in New England, which could then give Denver the opportunity to pull the trigger on Lance. So you just never know what's going to happen. That's the chaos of the draft, and that's why it's so fun. It's a highly viewed event every year.
And what do you think Dallas is going to take?
I hope defense. I really hope Kyle Pitts gets taken before Dallas picks so that Jerry Jones, who's enamored with him, doesn't end up pulling the trigger on a tight end that we don't need. I'm hoping Patrick Surtain. I'd be happy with J.C. Horn. I would like a pass rusher if there's one, like a Gregory Rousseau or somebody like that, if they're available there. But really, we need to fix that secondary. And if Sertan's there, it's a no-brainer. But hey, who the hell knows? I mean, that's why I don't get paid to make these decisions. I just get paid to talk about them.
Well, and we'll just go to this. Who is Granny's team going to take?
Well, the Chiefs traded their first-round pick to Baltimore. In fact, I think they traded two of their picks early rounds to Baltimore. But the Chiefs, I was going to say, needed offensive line, but the Chiefs did a lot of work in the offseason pulling in a lot of offensive linemen, like Pro Bowl-caliber offensive linemen, and they just got Orlando Brown, who's a Pro Bowler from Baltimore, to step in and fill that gap. So, really, I think at this point, Kansas City's so good, they just need some filler talent. I mean, maybe
and
some defensive
help.
And
they got that offensive lineman guy from New England, too, Sooney, didn't they?
Exactly. Yes, they did. Yep. So they're set. I mean, they're sitting pretty. They can take really whoever they want and be fine.
You know, and we know that eventually Minnesota's going to have to take a quarterback. It probably won't be this year. I think it'd be more like next year. But what's the word on Minnesota?
They need interior offensive line help desperately. I have in my mock draft, which I'll release on Facebook probably tonight or tomorrow, I have them taking Elijah Vera Tucker, who is offensive guard from USC, just because, like I said, they need some help in that interior. I could also see them taking a Kwity Paye, a defensive tackle. I know they have some holes in their D tackle as well. A couple of different ways that they could go with it. But I'd say either offensive interior offensive lineman or a defensive pass rusher. That'd be
you know,
my
team. And, you know, I know we're running out of time. You know, I hate to put the event off till next week, but it'll definitely get done next week. But
Killing me. You're killing cliffhangers, man. You're keeping us on the ropes.
Well, I know, but, there is a few other things I do want to talk about, though.
All right.
The NDSU Bison, they did defeat Eastern Washington on Saturday. So get this, our next game is this coming Sunday.
Sunday.
Against Sam Houston State University.
Nice.
When's the last time you heard of a college football game being played on Sunday?
That's unusual, for sure.
I mean,
that is,
you know,
definitely unusual.
I mean, you've heard Thursday. It's always mostly Saturday. Usually, what are some days of the week that college football never plays? Sunday, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. And I'm working full swing of the FM Vaders. Hope everybody did either of you guys see my Facebook Live this week? I don't know if you guys saw that or not, but the Invaders got their first loss of the season. Of course, it was a non-conference game. We had a nice 8-hour road trip from Fargo to Rapid City, South Dakota, and back. We lost on a last-second touchdown. They scored they tied it, and then they scored a two-point conversion. Of course, you know, we're not making any excuses. However, I think it would have been a lot different if we would have had a kicker, because we had to go for a two-point conversion every time we scored a touchdown. So that kind of put things in perspective. It's good to go for two all the time, but you also need a kicker. You know?
I got you.
Hey, I was supposed to ask a fan sent me a question. They wanted me to ask this of you. What have you heard about sports for the teams that you cover in you broadcasting again? Now that hopefully COVID should be done by the time school starts again. Or don't you know? I'll tell you what, Granny. If he stepped away, that's fine. We'll just finish the last 4 minutes here. I guess I'm kind of sad that you won't be able to make it to the wedding, and I haven't told Homer yet.
Well, don't tell Homer, because I don't want it to break his heart, okay? I mean, you know, so I love you, Homer.
Yeah, and he loves Granny too. Hopefully eventually we can get you down here, like maybe for like a Puffamania match or something.
That would be cool.
Speaking of Puffamania, you know, they got a big event coming up, and, I know we like to promote them on this show, but, they haven't let me know if they're going to have me do anything with them this year, this time, so I don't know. It seems to be, I don't want to turn this into a sob session or anything, but it seems like a lot of places have been turning their back on the Icon lately, and it's kind of upsetting to me, you know.
Well,
I mean,
I would like to try to get Magnificent Malico on our show, so he can voice his opinion against Will Alday. I'm going to have to work on that.
I did send him a message. Hopefully, he'll respond.
He's pretty good about responding to messages, so.
All right.
But I would love to have Magnificent Malico on our show. I think that would be – he would be an awesome guest. He would be an awesome interview.
Get to that booking.
About,
I mean, we, I don't
guy,
see where we can't.
What about the guy that stole the belt?
Excuse me?
I said I don't see why
we
can't. I mean, get on that booking.
Yeah, what about the guy that stole the belt, though? Would you want to talk to him?
Ooh,
well,
that might be
right.
Fun.
Will
Alday? That might be fun.
Get him on, too. Get him on, too, and we could have a little thing between the two
this?
Of them.
How about this? We'll put Will Alday on, right? And I'll play the song Purple Rain for the introduction. And that'll be, be good stuff. good stuff. But, all right, guys, I gotta cut it here now. We got Yankee coverage and whatnot.
Everybody, make sure you check out our page, Off the Ropes. Content, new content always drops either Thursday night or Friday night. Keep listening. We're not going anywhere. I have guest books from now on, from now until the end of 2022. So,
and
Icon,
we are starting next week with your rant. We have to. You've been teasing it for too long. We are open.